Well, old carboy threw me for a loop.
I don't accept your resignation.
What do you mean? I quit.
I don't accept it.
You're crazy. I just done quit. I'm out of here.
It wasn't a good idea, trying to scare off scruples in Miss Truville. My apologies. You did the right thing. We mustn't turn ourselves into casual killers like Glenn. My original idea was better. We need to clean them out of every paper that makes them look legitimate.
I'm getting critter and moving to Mexico City.
Fine, but wait a bit. When the day shift leaves the Big Mother, Scruple's gang is going to jump the mine. They'll be dressed as miners and look like they're the night shift. And once they get past the guardhouses, they're going to take over.
You got this from your snitch, right?
Carboy smiled and said nothing.
So what do you want me to do?
Snatch the safe from the Pullman car.
What? What's this?
They're sending every hood they've collected. We're planning on sucking them into the Big Mother and trapping them in there. The one man will be guarding the railroad car, your old friend Lugar, and of course Carter and Amanda, who'll be waiting in it for word from the Big Mother.
He smiled broadly, waiting for my response.
I'm heading for San Diego.
A faint flash of annoyance showed up, and then his blandness reappeared.
Oh, well, I thought you might enjoy the heist.
I always liked getting into as much trouble as possible, so I stood there and let him say what he was going to say.
I imagine you'd have 2 or 3 hours. You'd need to disarm Lugar and bust into the railroad car, barricade Scruples and his doxy in a room, and unbolt the safe and skid it to a wagon, unless you can persuade Carter to open it up.
He cocked an eyebrow.
All alone? Well, who's driving the wagon? Who's going to help me drag a 500-pound chunk of steel? Who's going to get under the car with a wrench and find out how to pull the nuts off them bolts?
Well, how would you do it?
Danged if I knew what he was jabbering about. Never work for someone that reads books. That's my motto. They're all nuts. Carboy sure was one of a kind. Instead of bossing me around, he was always real polite. Instead of insisting he knew how to do things, he was always backing off, saying he was mistaken. I don't know how he bossed the Big Mother mine. That's a tough bunch of miners. But there he was, halfway apologizing and backing off all the time.
I gotta think on her.
Do that.
Now what's gonna happen at the mine?
My day shift is done at 4. They change out of their duds and head for the saloons. The night shift starts at 5. Scruple's men are going to mix in with them, get past the guards. Then they're going to rush the office and take over. They'll shoot any guard who resists.
How do you know this?
I have ears where I need them, Mr. Cotton.
And what'll you do to stop this?
Nothing. There won't even be guards in the guardhouses.
I ain't following you too good.
My guards will be here, protecting me. You see, grabbing the Big Mother's not enough for Scruples. They need to extinguish any resistance, which means rushing this home. Never underestimate Carter's scruples, my friend. Taking over the Big Mother's a diversion intended to draw me out of here. I think that by 4 this afternoon, Rudolph Glan will be set up outside this house somewhere, and there'll be a few thugs ready to rush us.
So you want me to help you here?
Oh, no. I want you to head for the railroad car and do whatever it takes.
But how'll you keep yourself alive here? They could burn you out.
Well, I suppose they could, but I have a few resources.
He sure was calm, just sitting there in his parlor playing this mental chess with Carter Scruples.
I tell you what, Cotton, this is a conflict of opportunity. Why don't you just go looking for some?
You sure you don't want me here?
Go.
I come into Swamp Creek and headed to Celia's rooms. I thought that was as good a place as any to watch the show, since I wasn't going to be part of it. And maybe Celia would need some protecting, too. I knocked, but she heard me on them wooden stairs and opened right up.
Oh, Cotton!
She drew me in, closed the door, and then darned if she didn't hug me tight. I liked it well enough, but she wasn't being very witterly, if you ask me, hugging me like that just a few days after she'd planted Armand Argo. But some widders were merry, and maybe she was a merry one. So I hugged right back for a while, and things was getting pretty good when she sort of wiggled out. Her eyes, they was very bright. I could see what Armand Argo liked about her all right. But there wasn't nothing I could do about it except suffer.
I just come from a crazy man. He might own a gold mine, but he's got no iron in his spine.
I told her the whole thing about Cletus Carboy and how he was full of book notions and didn't know what end was up. She listened with a little smile on her puss.
Don't you underestimate Cletus. He's tougher than you think. Cletus and Armand used to get together a lot, the two owning the biggest mines and all, and I sure got an earful. Cletus, he want to make a name for himself. He been reading up on new books about how to run things, and he trying them all out. He real tough, and he could flatten you in about 2 seconds, I bet, and he could do it to his miners, but he kept telling Armand that doesn't make them miners work better or harder or brighter. So he sort of tries to inspire them, make them find their own ways to do better. His secret is, he wants everyone to be his own boss, so he doesn't have to boss.
That sure was a new way of looking at Cletus Carboy, seemed to me. How could he not be the boss? There's workers that need flattening regular, or they just mess everything up and loaf. I didn't think much of Carboy, for sure. My idea of running a mine is to pound hell out of anyone messes up or fire them quick. Miners ain't much good unless someone's pounding on them.
He wants me to figure out my own way of getting that transactions crowd out of Swamp Creek.
And did you find a way yet?
Nope. I ain't known for smart, Cecilia.
You're known for a few other things, Cotton.
Oh, Celia.
Oh, I got all flustered up again. Well, I swear, it was so bad, I was gonna get down them stairs before I got into real bad trouble. So I changed the subject real fast.
There's gonna be a lot of trouble this afternoon, Celia. Them thugs are gonna take over the big mother mine between shifts. But that's not all. They's gonna hit on Cletus, too. They're gonna try to get him out where they can kill him. But he's wise to it and got his guards at his place. And he's got some plan or other to catch all the thugs inside his mine.
What do he want you to do?
Go hit the railroad car.
She stared blankly.
Bust open that safe and get all them papers, deeds, claims, forms out of it so scruples don't have a leg to stand on.
How?
That's where Cletus Carboy's full of book learning and don't know nothing.
It'll be guarded.
They're leaving Lugar there to keep watch. The rest of them thugs will be raiding the Big Mother.
Let's do it.
Sure, we'll just get past Lugar, get past Scruples, and maybe Amanda. They ain't gonna be holding licorice sticks in their paws, Celia. Then we bust open a safe and grab the stuff Cletus wants.
Can you take out Lugar? That's all we need.
I can give her a try.
She smiled at me, like maybe there'd be a reward if we got this here heist done right. And I smiled right back. I was ready for rewards. And I thought I'd reward the Widder Lady, too, if I could. Long about 4, we saw them thugs, all dressed up as miners, in brogans and bib overalls and all, stomping through town just like all the other $3-a-day men working in the stopes and drifts. They didn't look like miners, though. I don't know why. They looked like thugs dressed as miners, just the way a cop looks like a cop even when he's not wearing his blue uniform. People sure have a look about them, all right. I saw Arnold all dressed up in denim, and I saw his sidekick, the Apocalypse, trotting along with a shovel. Mines don't hire runts like that, but it didn't bother him none. I didn't see Glan, and I figured he was with the other bunch, aiming to polish off Carboy. So, the party was on. Carboy's information was correct. Scruples was making his move this afternoon. Me and Celia sort of ghosted through Swamp Creek. When I thought I saw one of Scruples' thugs in the shadows, I steered her into the mint real fast. Billy Blue raised his eyebrows at her being in there, but he didn't say nothing.
Need a little corner to lay low for a bit, Billy.
You got it.
You getting much trade?
Look for yourself.
I sure don't see no one in here.
Most of my customers is gone. This was the watering hole for the small-time mine owners, and Scruples chased them off.
Even that bunch from the Hermit Mine?
Haven't seen them in days. Truth is, Cotton, Scruples has got himself most every little mine in the area. There's only the Big Mother left, and the Big Mother owns the stamp mill, so Scruples got to get both to own the whole kit and caboodle. Ain't much good jumping all the mines and not owning the mill.
I hadn't thought of that. Scruples still had 2 big operations to pull off. Maybe 3, if he intended to bust old Carboy out of his house.
I'd like a drink.
Billy looked her over pretty close.
Sarsaparilla?
Sarsaparilla? Hell, a double red eye.
Billy was looking right nervous.
I ain't supposed to serve women, especially ones about your size and age.
She dug into her coin purse and slapped a silver dollar down.
Well, there ain't anyone around anyway.
I'll have sarsaparilla.
He stared at me like I was loco, but I didn't want no booze in my veins if it come to shooting it out. He served us and got the change back to Celia.
How come Scruples is going after the stamp mill last?
He can't monkey with the deed. That mill's not sitting on a mining claim. It's not even listed in the books kept by Brashear. It's not part of the Swamp Creek District, waiting for government deeds. The mill's on township land, and the land under that mill is deeded to Carboy, and that deed's on file in Butte. So Scruples can't just barge in there and say it's his. It's gonna take some doing.
I hadn't known any of that. It was just sitting on the edge of town, hammering away day and night. 10 stamps driven by a steam boiler, crushing ore from all the local mines on a consignment basis, pounding that ore so fine that the chemicals in the vats could leach the gold out of it. I didn't know the whole deal, but I knew that ore had to be pounded to powder, or them nasty chemicals couldn't get a handle on the gold.
Maybe Scruples don't need the mill.
Cotton, you got a lot to learn, if you don't mind my saying so. This here mill controls the whole district. They charge whatever they feel like charging. They can make or break any mine. You want to know what a mine owner does if he can't do business with that mill? He loads his ore in freight wagons and hauls his stuff to Anaconda, 40 miles distant. And you know what that means? All his black ink turns red. This is good ore here, but not so good it can be milled 40 miles away by ox team and come out profitable. You follow me?
Sure do, Billy.
All right, here's the skinny of it. Every mine, big and little, in the Swamp Creek District needs that mill. Without that mill, none of these mines is worth much. Without it, Scruples is plumb out of luck.
It bothered me that Carboy hadn't said a word to me about the mill, or why it was so important to the whole district. Without it, none of them mines would be profitable. But Carboy was a man who kept most of his plans to himself and let you find out only what he wanted you to know. Celia had downed the double and was grinning crookedly at me. I don't care if a woman's 16 or 60, a double red eye's gonna give her a crooked grin.
Maybe I'll marry you, Cotton. I'm feeling the need.
I was sipping sarsaparilla and feeling itchy.
I'm thinking you ought to get to your rooms and rest up a little, Celia.
Hell no. You stuck with me.
I didn't mind that, but she was a little on the young side to get stuck with.
I'm heading for the stamp mill. It'll give you a headache.
The red eye already did that, Cotton.
It's a dangerous place, Celia.
I've sat at card tables beside Armand holding a derringer and ready to use it on some lout.
We got to that mill, and the earth trembled under our feet. That sure was something, those 10 stamps hammering down on the ore running through. Them stamps, someone told me once, was 3/4 of a ton of iron each, and they was all coming down on rock, smashing it to bits. They operated in some sort of succession, so the stamps was lifted up by steam power and then cut loose to hammer that rock. It got so I could hardly talk to Celia, and it made me wonder how them mill men could work in a place like that without going stone deaf. But they were around, often pushing rock and ore around, ignoring that hammering. I never saw the light. The way them stamps powdered rock so the metal could be got out. There was a bunch of vats where that powdered rock was mixed with some sort of stinking chemicals to get the gold out. And another bunch of miners was looking after all that. Over to the side was the steam plant, with a big firebox below it, and there was a bunch of men doing nothing but shoving wood in there to make that steam. I never knew it took so much work and machinery and chemicals just to get a little gold out of some rock. And that wasn't the end of it, neither, because there was a half a dozen wagons of wood waiting to be unloaded. Woodcutters were whacking down the forest to keep that old boiler going, and it looked like every day that boiler crew went through several cords of wood that was supplied by all them woodcutters. Them boys was independent and went off into the forest and chopped down trees and let them dry some and then whacked off the limbs and cut them into lengths. They were a bunch, all right, with arms as thick as fence posts and shoulders wide as an ox.
It sure is scary. I never saw it before. In town, it's just a lot of steady noise a long ways away.
If you was to shut this down, how'd you do it?
I was thinking of how to take over the office and all. But Celia, she's a lot smarter than I'll ever be.
Don't let them get any firewood!
Holy cat, Celia!
That old mill could be shut down cold if it didn't have no fuel for its boiler.
You got her!
Got what?
The way to do it!
I headed for the woodyard, where a bunch of them wood choppers was waiting in their wagons to unload and get paid. Maybe half a dozen wagons, with two horse teams, big draft animals, was waiting to get unloaded. Most of them wagons had two men on board. So we angled over there, and I went right up to the first.
You sell that wood to the mill? What do you get for it?
Him and me each clear about $2 a day, but it's getting harder now.
Longer drive?
Yep, more than an hour each way now. That mill eats about 2 square miles of wood a year. That makes the hauling worse every trip.
You work in pairs?
Mostly. He's a bow hunk off the boat and can't talk English yet, but we get along fine. And he's good with an axe.
How many woodcutters are there?
Oh, hell, how should I know? Hell of a bunch, if you ask me. Just think a little. This whole mining district, it'd shut down fast if we quit them. Maybe they should pay us more, huh?
You get paid on delivery?
You bet. We get cash or we don't unload.
How many days of wood does the mill have backed up?
Oh, sometimes they run out. Take a rainy spell or a lot of snow, and that old mill, she just shuts down. There's no way we can feed them boilers.
Looks like enough here for a few days.
Sure, dry weather like this, it's easy to haul. Roads ain't a quagmire. Sun dries the wood fast.
You mean live in town?
Nah, we make camps and live in them. Maybe in the winter we come in. Lots of times in the winter, the mill ain't running, and the ore just gets stockpiled until we can bring in wood. There's no coal around here, so wood's all they got.
That's what I wanted to know. You fellers are mighty important.
The 4 o'clock whistle blew. That meant the show was about to begin. And if I was gonna bust into the railroad car, I'd better get packing.
Celia, I got some business now.
I'm coming with you.
I mean, real bad, dangerous business.
As we made our way through them piles of slag, I spotted that ebony carriage heading towards town. I pushed back, and so did Celia. We watched Carter Scruples and Amanda Truville trot by. Last time I seen them driving that rig, they was on hand when Aggie Cork's mine was being jumped. We just watched it pass, with the crusher ringing in our ears. So, we hiked up that grade toward the Pullman, cased the yard, and after we were sure no one was around, we walked right into that car.
I want you to keep a sharp lookout. Not just on that drive coming up here, but in all directions, like someone coming down from them foothills to check on us.
Do your stuff.
Celia, after she'd bounced from window to window checking things, then she went and explored the car. When she got to Amanda's boudoir, she opened that fine wood door and got an eyeful of that painting of Amanda.
No wonder she tells Carter what to do.
Standing in Scruple's office, I perused that safe with the dial on it. That thing was lacquered black and had some little pink cupids messing around it. But it wasn't no fairies that was inside of there. I tried yanking the door, but it was shut tight. I tried to budge it, but it wouldn't budge. I don't think Scruples would have left the place unguarded if he thought that safe could be gotten out. I studied on it. The safe was bolted down, but them bolts had rounded tops that no wrench could loosen. I'd already looked under the car where that safe would be bolted down, but there was a double bottom to the car and no bolts visible under there. I gave up any hope that I could nip them papers from the safe then and there. It would take a blacksmith a month to chew into that safe. But maybe there was some other way, like getting Scruples to open up while I was waving a revolver in his direction.
Fat chance. If Scruples was smart, he'd laugh at me. He's the only one knows the combination, and a dead Scruples won't help me none. Let's go. This is a bad idea.
Celia stuck her head back in the office.
What do we do now?
I'm gonna wait it out in the slag. But maybe you should go on in and stick close to your rooms.
Where'll you be?
I got to get over to Carboy, and if he's still alive, I'll tell him I done no good.
I'm glad you're not quitting.
I never said I would. I just can't do this Carboy's way. I've got to figure out my own way.
She reached out and took me in her arms and kissed me good and kissed me again, and I thought that was mighty witterly of her. So I kissed back a few times and was just thinking that car was a real private place when she busted loose. I was ghosting through the slag heaps on my way to Carboy's when I saw that lacquered black carriage and them trotters come prancing along the road. So I peered over the slag to get a good view. That outfit was coming straight toward the stamp mill, and pretty soon I could see it had three people in it. There were Scruples and Amanda, but I couldn't make out the other one. But they came straight on, though the trotters didn't like the noise of them stamps and kept sawing their heads and acting unhappy. But then the carriage pulled up at the mill office, and I got a good view at last. That third person was Cletus Carboy.
What the?
I couldn't hardly figure that one out. But that's who it was for sure. Him, the enemy of the whole transactions crowd. Scruples got out of that carriage and put down a carriage weight and hooked the lines to it, and then helped Amanda down. She stood dusting her skirts while Carboy climbed out, and them three went into the office. I couldn't hardly believe it. It didn't take long for them to come out again, along with the mill manager, some gent named Wally Wilde, who was supposed to be related to that fruity poet over in England, but Wally was all man. So I just kept right on watching from the slag, keeping low so none of them could see me. And pretty quick, Wilde takes Scruples and Amanda out to the mill men, and they jabber a little, though the noise is so bad no one seems to hear nothing. And then Wild takes them over to the wood pile, and all of them talk to them woodcutters who are lined up to unload the cordwood for the boiler. And then they're done. Carter Scruples loads Amanda back into the carriage, and Carboy gets in, and the three of them start for Swamp Creek. And them trotters are mighty glad to get out of there and dance right along. Pretty quick, they're gone, and Wild is back in his office, and I'm itching to learn what's happening. My best bet is to slide over to them woodcutters and have a palaver. So I get over there to the wood piles, where the woodcutters and the wagons are waiting their turn to get credited for the wood and unload. I sort of selected a couple of them down the line some who weren't busy.
You mind telling me what that was all about?
You mean them new owners?
Well, that's what I want to find out.
Transactions has got the mill, they said. They was telling us it's business as usual, only now it's a different company that's running the mill. That was the former owner, a fella named Carboy. And the new owners, the two that camp up there in the railroad car. The new owners, they say just to keep on going, it's all the same to them. Same pay, same deal, only new company.
Carboy sold?
I reckon so. He didn't look very happy about it. Fact is, he was angry looking.
Did they say anything else? Like, who's the owner of the big mother mine?
Sure did. Mr. Scruple said it was his now. They got the whole son of a bitch in mining district all to their lonesome selves.
And Cletus Carboy was going right along.
Look that way to me, friend. You got any objections to it?
I guess maybe I do.
I slipped over to Carboy's fancy estate after dark, glad for the cover of night. I sure didn't know what was going on, and I needed to know. So I plain walked up and knocked. Cletus Carboy himself answered and led me into that big parlor of his.
I was expecting your cotton.
That feller was always knowing where I would be before I knew it, and it sure made me itchy. Pretty quick, they brought some of that tea.
It's oolong.
Well, not too long for me. I'd better tell you, I don't have no way to get that safe open.
Oh, you tried?
Spun that dial and looked for ways to pry her loose.
Ah, they didn't guard the place.
Didn't need to. It'd take a few sticks of DuPont to pry her out of there. Now you tell me your side of this.
Defeat, Cotton. Utter defeat. Scruples outmaneuvered me and achieved a bloodless coup. They actually moved in about noon before I had men posted. The 4 o'clock takeover was a ruse. He now controls the mine and the mill and everything else in the mining district, and without firing a shot.
Every blamed thing?
Everything. It turned out that Carter Scruples had his own snitches, including my head groundsman, Gerd Thimblestiff. They knew my plans, knew my intent to trap them in the shaft of the Big Mother, and knew how I intended to defend myself here in the event that their thugs planned to invade, and worked out a way to get around my guards. they put a man on the roof. Gerd was well paid, and of course no longer works for me.
They taken the mill too?
Oh yes, Cotton. I signed a deed with a 45 caliber barrel aimed at me. I'm not the hero of fiction. When I had a 45 caliber revolver pointing at my ear, with a bullet 45 hundredths of an inch waiting to pierce one side of my brain and exit the other, and listened to instructions to write a bill of sale, I proceeded quite cheerfully. I weighed the possibility of refusing, and decided not to be the dead hero. So it was all done under duress, and might technically be invalid, but that won't stop Scruples. He got what he wanted.
You quitting?
Oh, no. Not at all, Cotton. I survived, you see. And to survive is to hope, and to hope is to plan. I live to fight another day.
He eyed me with a level stare.
By the way, thanks to Thimblestiff, they know you're here and never left Swamp Creek. They know your nags in the barn. But Scruples doesn't care. He told me he didn't care about that riffraff, meaning you. He's got what he wants.
That's another of them big words I never heard of.
Riffraff? Trash, rabble, rubbish.
Trash, am I? I'll show that Scruples what trash is. Scruples, he called me that, not Amanda.
Oh, I think she agreed with him. She didn't object.
I thought she liked me.
Are you going to saddle up Critter and ride into the sunset?
Then I'd be trash, Carboy. If he called me riffraff, then I'm gonna show that whole outfit what riffraff is. Only I ain't got a plan yet.
Time's running out for both of us, I'm afraid.
What's he gonna do next?
Keep on mining my ore and milling my ore while he tries to line up a sale for the whole district. He got what he set out to get, which was every mine and claim in the Swamp Creek district, and he snatched the mill, too.
I can shut down the mill, I think. And maybe the Big Mother, too, if it's got a boiler. Would shutting it all down do any good?
Well, it'd keep the gold in the ground. A mine is a diminishing asset. Some mines last just a little while. None lasts forever. One of the games is to tie up a mine in litigation. After years of fighting in courts, someone gets the mine, which by then is depleted. In other words, Cotton, control is everything. And Scruples controls everything.
You got a little cash I could use.
For what?
Getting all them woodcutters to take a vacation. They was telling me that without cordwood, the whole shebang shuts down real quick.
Carboy rose, paced the study, then disappeared. When he returned, he had a stack of eagles in hand.
There's about 20 woodcutters supplying the mines and mill. See whether an eagle apiece would persuade them to take a vacation for a month.
Only $10 for a month?
Cutting wood is hard and heavy work, Cotton. $10 will look good.
Well, what does that get you?
Time, Cotton. Time.
20 eagles was $200, and I never had so much cash in my hand in all my life. I thought $2 was pretty hot stuff. And there I was with 20 of them little gold pieces, light as can be, even though gold's heavy metal.
I'll give her a try.
Oh, and Cotton, find out if you can whether Scruples is putting the whole district up for sale. He's got to start somewhere. An advertisement, or hiring a broker, or wiring someone. I have a notion that if we can find out who's the buyer, we can maybe talk to the gentleman about a few facts of life.
Yeah, seems that'd make him all the more eager to move in here.
Carboy scowled at me.
It's called due diligence. You want to know what you're getting into.
Not me. I just take a chance on whatever looks real good.
He smiled a not-so-happy smile at me. I think maybe I didn't do so good with him. But I couldn't help it. I'm just me, Cotton, and don't know how to be some other feller. I head out to the pens to saddle up Critter. He greeted me with a friendly bite and a butt. I rode out of there and skirted wide of Swamp Creek, thinking maybe some of them toughs might want to clean out 20 eagles tied up in an old handkerchief of Carboy's. I knew about where them woodcutters worked and let Critter run a little since he was getting barn sour. This Swamp Creek was the same as all the rest of the mining camps. Half of them start in the middle of the woods, and as the town grows, the forests get cut away for firewood and boiler wood and planks and timbers. New camps, they got woods close by. Old camps, you gotta ride a heap to get to any forest that ain't cut down. Swamp Creek was showing some age, with hardly a tree left standing close in. The bigger the town, the more woodcutters is needed, and sometimes there's more of them than there is miners. It takes a lot of timber to run a mine, more to run a mill, still more to nail up all those stories and shanties and houses. It was a nice day for a little trip. I let Critter have his head.
Uh-huh. Guess you're enjoying life there, Critter.
Critter could sound like a cathedral pipe organ if he was of a mind. After a while, we reached one of them woodcutters' camps, with a few wagons around and a few wall tents where them cutters can live halfway comfortable for a season. I stepped off the hurricane deck and waited for them woodcutters to gather around. They was a rough lot, and half couldn't speak English, but neither could I, so it didn't matter none.
I suppose you heard that Scruples, he took over the mill and the Big Mother. That Scruples, he sort of weaseled around Carboy and got a lot of armed men into them places and kicked out the managers and took over.
We heard a thing or two.
But then I'll get right to it. Carboy, he wants his mill and mine back. And about the only way to do that is to shut him down tight.
I sort of waited, but no one volunteered nothing.
I mean, no more wood.
Now I saw a mess of frowns. I was talking pay and making a living.
If he can get near all you fellers to take a month vacation with pay, he'd do it. He'd shell out for you to take a while off and not deliver a stick of wood to the mill or the Big Mother. No cordwood, no planks, no mine timbers.
That sure got their attention all right, but they wasn't looking like they'd go along with it.
How many woodcutters is working around the district?
Hardly know from day to day.
20 maybe?
More than that.
Well, I'm supposed to tell you he'll pay you each an eagle to shut down for a month, but only if you are all in it.
That sure sank like a rock in a pond.
We ain't all one crowd. Some of the others, if we took eagles to shut down, they'd just work harder and get better pay. We lay off a month, maybe we don't get back into the woodline at the mill.
You afeard of losing business?
None of them answered. This was going to be harder than I thought.
Where are them other camps? I'll go talk.
Take this road north, 2 miles.
They were pointing in several directions, but I finally got her straightened away. There were 3 more camps, several men in each, which made work easier for all. None was very far off. They all wanted to stay as close to the mill as they could to save hauling.
I'll just ride Critter here to where they is and do a little talking. I'll get back as soon as I hear from them.
I ran into the same reception at the other camps and was heading to the last camp along toward dusk now, pretty gray, and that's what saved my life.
What the?
That old rifle shot clipped my slouch hat right off my head. I felt the hat rip away before I even heard the shot. I bailed off a critter, hit the ground hard, lots of sticks and stuff there which didn't do me no good, and I was up, my borrowed hog leg in hand, and running straight toward that son of a bitch Rudolph Costello Gland.
You son of a... I'm after you, Gland!
I bulled right through that brush and stuff, working up toward a ridge I knew was the place where Gland took a pot shot at me. I don't know if that was smart or not. I just was going after him and plowing through all that scrub growth on the slope, dodging this away and that. Maybe he was up there taking aim, maybe not. It was getting too dark to see anything. Maybe me going after him like that was the last thing he expected, straight into the sights of his rifle. I didn't much care, and it sure beat laying on the ground waiting for him to slide down and finish me off.
Riff-raff, am I? I'll show you some riff-raff!
That word still graveled me. Calling me trash. That did it.
I'll riffraff you off that ridge, Gland!
But there wasn't any reply. And I think maybe Rudy Gland, he decided to get the hell out of there while he could, because he had a mad bull dodging through that brush, and he couldn't swing a rifle fast enough to know where the target was. The last part of that hogback was pretty steep, but I thumped along, my heart banging in my chest, ready to shoot anything that moved. When I finally got up there, it was pretty dark, but I made sure to crouch low and not silhouette myself against the night sky. Darkness is a friend, but you gotta know how to use it right. He was gone. I couldn't even find any brass. But I knew who'd done it, and I knew I'd be settling accounts one of these days. I also knew Scruples wasn't ignoring me at all and was still stalking me. I crouched around there, looking for brass. and then looking for a place some horse stood for a while. But I didn't find nothing.
The woodcutters don't want a deal. Glenn's shooting at me. I need to lay low.
It took a while, but pretty soon Celia opened her door, wearing a white cotton sleeping gown and carrying that little revolver in her hand.
Oh, it's you.
Want company?
Not tonight, Cotton. If I let you in, you'd have your way with me.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I'm still grieving for Armand, Cotton. But try me in a day or two.
That's when you quit grieving?
No, that's when I'm gonna have my way with you.
Them girls pushing 17 sure had notions.
Well, guess I'll have to hold out. Don't know whether I can last that long.
Go home.
I ain't got one.
She reached forward and kissed me on the lips while that little lady revolver was pressed to my belly, and then shut the door. I stood there, half loony. You ever been kissed by a near 17-year-old widder lady who also had a gun pushed into your gut? It's an experience. I staggered into Carboy's bunkhouse. There was someone bunking in there, but I paid no never mind and pulled off my boots and breeches. I got down to my union suit, which I was thinking I ought to wash in the next week or two on a nice day, and crawled into my bunk and started to doze off. Next I knew, there's this feller sitting on the edge of my bunk.
How you doing, big fella?
I'm out of that bunk so fast I hardly took time to get my britches back on, and about the same time I'm stabbing feet into boots. I turn around just when a match flares and a lamp gets lit, and sure enough, it's a woman, and one I know, too. And she isn't wearing more than a little white thingamabob.
Amanda.
Want some company, Cotton?
I always want company. But I sure wanted to learn a thing or two first.
What are you doing half-naked in Carboy's bunkhouse?
I came to see you.
Well, now you have. Maybe you should pull a blanket over you.
I don't know why I said that, neither. Most of me didn't want no blanket pulled over her at all. But here was the source of half my torment. The woman whose hired man Glenn had tried to kill me a few hours earlier, sitting in her unmentionables in the bunkhouse of a man who didn't much care for her.
Why are you here?
To see you, Cotton. I couldn't get you out of my head.
This here business was taking a bad turn.
I'm sparking someone else.
Celia Argo. Look, Cotton, I want to talk to you.
You already are.
She rose, slipped into a white robe she had, and sat on the bunk across from mine.
There's a lot you don't know.
That's what I'm learning.
I'm trapped. I don't like the company. I don't like Carter Scruples. I'm a prisoner in a way. He's got signed contracts making me a partner and equally responsible for all that happens, including anything bad.
Well, too bad. You shouldn't have got into it.
Cletus Carboy has a spy inside the railroad car. It's me. I've been telling him what's going to happen.
You?
Carter Scruples dragged me into it. I didn't know people would die. I didn't know he'd hire killers. He talked about his business ideas, working out agreements, transactions, and sticking to them. It's all a jumble in my mind. He was always talking about contracts and integrity, and at the same time he was stealing mines, scaring people off, and using force. He's rotten. But he's got this surface idealism, I guess you'd say, this talk that hides who he is and what he does. He talks like some Yale graduate. I got roped in. I'm not smart enough to see through him entirely, but I know I'm in trouble. If the law comes down on him, it comes down on me, too. He made me a partner, even if I don't know about his decisions, like having Glenn shoot you.
What's Yale?
It's like Harvard.
Never heard of it. But there's cows called Herefords.
She eyed me a moment.
It doesn't matter. Here's what matters. He talked me into something bad. He talked about new ways to do business, and that fooled me. I'm trapped, and I need you now. I'm sorry I'm half-dressed this way. I thought the only way to get help was, well, you know.
Transactions, she nodded. You want me to get you out of it?
I don't know what I want, Cotton. I want to escape. Take me to Butte and the railroad.
She was looking at me so soft,
I almost went for it. Onlyest way I know how to get out of it is to give back what's been took. There's nothing you can do to bring good men like Aggie Cork back. But there's miners all around here got squeezed out, and you can't escape until you've done what you could. I could put you on a nag and take you to Butte right now, and you could catch a train out, but you wouldn't escape nothing. All that stuff, it'd still be on your shoulders.
She looked so desolate that I thought maybe I'd been meaner than a skunk, but I wasn't inclined to take her away from there and leave the whole mess she caused behind her. But then, she looked so kind of mournful.
You've been helping Cletus Carboy, and that's something. He still got his mind took from him, and now his mill took from him. Carter Scruples had a snitch here, so Cletus didn't have a chance, even with what you was telling him. You want a transaction? I'll make one with you. We got to turn this whole thing around and get them mines back to their proper owners, the ones still living, and find some way to stop Scruples cold. You willing?
I was hoping you'd just take me away from here.
How long have you knowed about what he was up to?
She stared into the kerosene lamp sadly.
From the beginning. I went along with it until innocent people... You know, I wanted money. Lots of money.
You think Scruples knows about you?
He knows someone's talking. He knows I'm not happy with any of this. He spends hours talking about contracts and how we've got to meet our contracts and how I agreed to this and that and he agreed to this and that and we've got to uphold everything.
That went clear past me, so I got down to the bone of it.
He finds out you're talking. He gonna kill you?
She stared bleakly at me and finally looked out the window into the night.
That's why I need to go to Butte and catch a train.
You think you were followed over here?
I don't know. I come and go as I please.
I think maybe we ought to douse that lamp and you should get away from the window.
Cotton, do you really think?
Carter Scruples is a lot smarter than I am.
I turned down the wick and the light blewed out.
I'm going out for a look. Maybe you should get back into whatever you was wearing.
She began to shuffle around in the dark. Very little starlight drifted in, but that's how I wanted it. I creaked open the door, listened hard, and stepped into the night. I didn't get far. That thug, Arnold, he landed a whack on me that sent me into the manure. I knew it was Arnold, and that meant the apocalypse was around there somewheres, and things weren't looking so good as I rose up mad.
That's the last time you pull one on me, you dumb...
That Arnold, he knew all the tricks, but he didn't ever meet a man growed up in the West. I just gone after him like a bull moose, whacking back at that punk, and I landed some good ones, too. And got a hand on his arm and twisted it good. I was so steamed up I didn't even feel his wax. They was just bouncing off me like raindrops. I was so mad that I was kicking and hammering, and he was starting to weaken a little. He was doing stuff I'd never seen, hooking his leg around to drop me, punching right under my ribs to take the breath out of me, and it didn't make no difference. I was hot, worse than I'd ever been before, and I wouldn't take no for an answer. So I was evening up the odds with Arnold at last. And whatever he was landing on me wasn't doing him any good. There's no mistaking that click. Anyone who's been around some knows the click of a revolver being cocked. And I was hearing that click square in my ear. So I quit working on Arnold to see what was clicking. And it was the apocalypse, all in black, all smiley, as he saw me get quiet real fast.
Get off, Arnold. Stand up.
Cotton?
There was Amanda, pale and afraid in the moonlight. The apocalypse was keeping an eye on her.
Cotton, you're privileged. You get to witness what happens when a contract is broken. You get to see the enforcement of a transaction. An agreement ought to be honored, right? And if it's not, then... it needs to be enforced.
I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but Amanda did and began shaking. Arnold got up and scraped muck off his tweeds and grabbed Amanda's arm and led her behind the barn to a place not visible from the Carboy's darkened ranch house. Then the apocalypse pressed his pop gun to her ear. She collapsed into a heap, staring at the night sky.
A completed transaction. She was squealing, She was Carboy's snitch, so of course, Mr. Scruples was forced to act.
I stared at the woman lying in the dirt, who had found herself and found purpose only a short time before, and I felt bad.
Carry her to the veranda. She's a gift to Carboy. And do not make any noise, or the next shot will go through your own thick skull. After that, Mr. Scruples wishes to entertain you. We will walk.
Scruples stood in his parlor in that red satin smoking robe, or whatever they call them things, and his hand was in the pocket where he probably kept a little bit of safety.
Well, come in, Mr. Cotton.
He eyed us all.
I think I'll ask you to stand rather than sit. The furniture might get stained.
He eyed Arnold.
You're a little the worse for wear. That is something I will take into consideration.
He eyed the apocalypse.
Perfectly groomed as usual. You may sit.
The little gunslinger settled in a chair, but his hand still had that pop gun in it, and that pop gun was aimed at my heart. Scruples turned to the apocalypse.
Was the transaction completed?
Perfectly, Mr. Scruples.
It's a pity. But people must learn to abide by their agreements.
He turned to me.
Poor dear decided not to fulfill her obligations. Just like you.
That didn't set well with me.
I quit you. So what?
You welched on your agreement with us.
I wasn't going to get into this all over again, especially with Amanda lying dead on the porch of Cletus Carboy's. So I just shut up and thought of ways to take out Scruples with my last breath if they was thinking of another execution.
I'm going to give you a new agreement. You'll do exactly as I tell you on your part, and on my part, I will let you live, if you conduct yourself as required.
Some deal.
Nothing to say? You're wise to listen carefully. This transaction I am making with you will be renewed at sundown each day, or canceled if you fail to meet your obligations. I'm sure you won't like to be canceled.
I didn't say nothing.
I'm now in the final phase of completing this transaction. The entire Swamp Creek District is for sale, being advertised in Eastern papers and financial journals. I have excellent brokers. Within a short time, I believe we will have a contract. After that, I may or may not retire. It will depend on whim. But I will have approximately $1 million, give or take some commissions. It was well worth the effort, in spite of a few difficulties.
I sure didn't know what this had to do with me.
Financiers and deep pockets men are cautious with their funds and want to know everything there is to know. They want a history of the mines, an estimate of ore remaining, a detailed accounting of the mill and how much refined gold was shipped from the district. They will want titles and deeds and claims. They will check with the territory. They will, in short, examine every possible facet of the business, which, of course, they should. I'm ready for them. In my safe are deeds and claims and a few mineral patents, bills of sale, all that sort of thing. When they send their accountants and lawyers and mining engineers and geologists to look it over, I will be well prepared. It should all go smoothly, save for one thing. I do not know what Cletus Carboy will do other than lick his wounds. If he entertains visions of getting it all back, or simply plans to be a spoiler, raising questions, spreading gossip and lies, then I will have to deal with it. He's well guarded, of course, and his sudden departure would be embarrassing just at this moment.
He eyed me cheerfully.
And that's where you come in, Cotton. You're going to be my informant. Oh, forgive me. That's too long a word for you. My snitch.
Doing what?
Extracting information. Every iota of it. What Carboy's up to, his plans, what he wants you to do, who he is talking to. And if you spill the beans, Arnold here will pull your fingernails out and cut your privates off and flay the flesh off your body before your contract expires. Of course, that's up to you. Actually, you're a bit smarter than I thought. That gambit with the woodcutters was clever, Cotton. It almost got by me. Shutting down the mine and mill... very good. I had to deal harshly with it. My excellent man, Rudolph Gland, made it clear to all the woodcutters that they had a contract with us and we wouldn't let them out of the contract. Not now. I don't care what happens after I've sold out. But until then, They're gonna cut wood each day, every day, cord by cord, and bring it into Swamp Creek. And if they don't keep up, they'll... well, shall we say, disappear. Glan is first rate at making people disappear. They simply vanish from the earth and are soon forgotten. Wilderness is a marvelous thing, Cotton.
So the sniper would be busy with any woodcutter not producing wood, I thought. You had to hand it to Scruples. He could turn life into a contract you never knew you signed. Sort of a handshake contract.
Are we clear?
About what?
About your duties and your rewards. Oh yes, the reports. At sundown each day, you will appear in the Miner's Rest Saloon, and if I choose, I will have you report in person. If not, you will have a word with the Apocalypse. What a fine name, eh? He has a keen mind and will convey to me exactly what you tell him. A daily report on everything. Everything. If you should fail to report any single thing, Cotton, our agreement will come to an abrupt end.
I didn't know I agreed to anything.
You're agreeing right now.
You sure you want to cut a deal with Riff Raff?
Oh, you learned a new word, Cotton. You're making progress.
I sort of wanted to strangle this son of a bitch.
Mr. Apocalypse will show you to the door. Until tomorrow evening, then.
I got to walking down that hill, wondering what the hell to do with myself, since I wasn't going to snitch on Cletus Carboy. Maybe I could just get on the critter and flee the country, start somewhere else, get out before a bullet went in one ear and out the other.
This is a tight one you're in now, Cotton.
I hardly got to the bottom of the hill, in the quiet of the night, when I knew there was something that needed doing. I headed back to Carboy's place on the creek below town, wishing I didn't have to do what had to be done, but there wasn't no one else to do it. I knew where a spade was in Carboy's barn, and I knew where I could find an old blanket to wrap her in. There wasn't no one else to bury Amanda proper, so it was up to me. I thought maybe it'd be good to get her off that porch before dawn and spare Cletus Carboy the sight of her when he got up in the morning or someone else found her. So I hiked back there, thinking how I'd miss Amanda. She'd come around to being a different person, or maybe it was just a way of growing some, but she was a fine woman by the time her life got taken away. If there was one thing for me to do after burying her, it would be to get that two-bit murderer and give him back his own medicine. But that was for later. For now, there was just one thing working in me, and that was to carry Amanda's body away into the slopes somewhere and put her to rest proper. It'd be a blanket around her, not wood, but it was the best I could do. It wasn't any job I wanted, but someone needed to do it, and that meant me.
Poor girl.
So I walked all the way back there to fetch Amanda, dreading every step. Only one thing was wrong with the whole idea. She wasn't there. I turned away, but a voice stopped me.
Come in, Cotton.
Carboy was standing in the dark doorway. I slipped in and discovered he had a revolver in hand. He led me to his dining room and lit a lamp. Stretched out on the table was Amanda, carefully wrapped in a winding sheet.
She came here to tell me she was looking for a way to leave Scruples. Then she left. Later, I heard a shot and lit no lamps for safety. Then, I saw them drop her on my porch and lead you away.
I stared at Amanda.
We wrapped her in linen, the traditional cloth for a burial sheet. I happened to have a coverlet. My people washed her carefully, and then we wrapped her and tied the sheet tight. When it's light, we'll bury her. I've set aside a family plot, even if there's no one in it now. I plan to stay after the mines were exhausted. This is one of the most beautiful corners of the world, this cheerful valley. It'd be a good place for Amanda to lie in eternity.
I couldn't think of nothing to say, not then. All I could think of was Carboy, making this place his home, and Scruples, perched in a railroad car ready to be hauled away the minute he sold out.
Amanda found me in the bunkhouse. She wanted to go, and she hoped I would help her. I said I would. Then them two, Arnold and the little one with the big name, they come in, beat me, and take her off. They made me watch it. And I guess watching them shoot her is never gonna leave my mind.
They took you with them?
Up there to the railroad car. Scruples himself, well, he laid it out for me. He offered me a deal. My life if I snitch on you, death if I don't, torture and death if I tell you about it. It wasn't pretty sounding, talking about cutting me up piece by piece. He stared at me quietly.
You've crossed the bridge.
Guess I had to.
I'm the only thing in his way now.
That's what he said. He said the whole district's up for sale. The brokers have it, and there's been lots of advertising, and he thinks he'll make a fortune real fast. He said the only trouble might come from due diligence. And I thought that was some kind of shooter you'd hire somewhere, but he said it wasn't nothing like that. It was being careful.
Due diligence is the process of making sure a property is up and up. And if a buyer were to check with me, he might learn some things that Scruples isn't talking about.
He come after you yet?
So far, no. He's got Glenn keeping the woodcutters in line, and the others haven't had much of a chance at me, because my own people are alert.
I wouldn't be so sure he's got Glenn on them woodcutters. You're his target.
That's good advice, Cotton. Thank you.
Like at the burying?
We stared at that rapt form, so silent and sad. I was wondering how we'd even get her into the ground, with Scruples' wolves circling around out there. I wanted Amanda to have a fine funeral, a funeral that said she was a fine lady that come far with her life.
It'll take my people most of a day to dig the grave. I was thinking of twilight. That's a fitting time, isn't it?
I'm going up after him. Ain't no other way. There's usually some good spot, some place to shoot from, and I'm gonna find it.
You sure you want to?
I never been so sure of anything. And the deal is, I want to get up there now, while it's still dark, and that means leaving real quick. If your people could put some food together for me, I'd like to head out and start prowling and stay out all day. And maybe, if Glenn shows up, have a little surprise for him before he can surprise you at Amanda's plot.